The Bajamoan, the telling of events, a series focusing on both the oral and written histories of the White Earth Reservation and Northern Minnesota regions, with an emphasis on Native American histories.
This is part 5 of an 8-part series, Lee and Hell, Voices of Our Elders, the Bajamoan Project on KKWE.
Good morning. My name is Lee Antel, and I'd like to talk a little bit about my days on the White Earth Reservation, where I was born and raised, and try to cover many years in a short period of time. Bagley was a pretty good-sized town in those days. I suppose it maybe was like 1,500 people. So it had a separate elementary school. It had a junior high school, and it had a high school. So there were probably at least two sections of every grade. So two grade sections of maybe 30 kids each. You were with kids your own age. It wasn't like a one-room schoolhouse or anything like that. But it was 30 miles to get there. And that seemed like every day it just took forever. I mean, you would get up and you were tired, and I don't know, I can never remember not being tired all the time because you never got enough sleep. And you had to bounce on that bus and so forth. The one good thing about living so far away from the school was that we had to cross the Wild Rice River on our way from Roy Lake to Zirkle. Zirkle, if you know that area, is a little corner at the intersection of Highway 200 and I think it's Highway 71 that goes into Itasca Park and Park Rapids. And from there you turn north and go into Bagley. Well, to get to Zirkle from where we live, you had to cross the Wild Rice River, where it started to flow out of Rice Lake. That's the start of the Wild Rice River that goes eventually through Manoman and through Twin Valley and Ada, Halstead, and into the Red River of the North. Well, every year the river would flood the road, making it impassable. And so each year we look forward to that because that was mud vacation. About 2 weeks the buses couldn't get through, so they said, well, just stay home. Well, we didn't have any choice. It couldn't get through. Nobody got through. But my older brother, he was in high school at the time. He was on the sports teams, and he had to come home periodically, get his clothes washed and different things, and do some of the chores like cut wood and stuff. And so what he would do on days like that, if he left home and he had to get to Bagley during mud vacation, he would put on a swimming suit under his clothes. He would walk to the edge of the water. He would take off all of his clothes except his bathing suit. He would put everything in a bag, hold it above his head, walk through that ice-cold water up to his chin till he got to the other side, where he would then, from his bag, retrieve a towel and redress and continue on his journey to Zirkle. There was not much hope of getting a ride with somebody on the road because there was nobody on the road. So he used to do that, and I'm sure he remembers that quite well, his trips across the flooded Wild Rice River as it came out of Upper Rice Lake. My older brother's name was Will, and he was an outstanding athlete for the Bagley Flyers, as they were known in those days, I guess, and still are. But he had this dilemma. He lived way out in the corner of the county. There was no thing as athletic buses in those days. I mean, if you didn't catch the regular bus home at 4 o'clock, there was no other bus. Well, that's exactly when the sports teams would have their practices. And then during the winter for basketball, every Tuesday and Friday you'd have a game, and Fridays you'd have football games in the fall and so forth and so on. But he didn't have any transportation. But because the coaches wanted him on the team so badly, the coaches at Bagley wanted my brother to be on the athletic teams because he was a star athlete. But he was hindered by transportation. We lived a long way from Bagley, and there was just no way he could get back and forth. And so the coaches, and I've never heard of this happening to any other human being in in Bagley or Monoman or any place else, the coaches arranged for him, for my brother, to have a room in the high school building. In the old days, if you remember those old buildings, they used to have hall closets between the classrooms where the kids would hang up their coats. Coaches closed one of those off, furnished it, got him a bed, got him a dresser, got him whatever he needed to live there, and a desk so he could study, and said, okay, this is your room. And we're going to get you a job down at the local cafe so you can work for your meals. So he was the sole occupant of Bagley High School at night.
Wow.
And he worked at this cafe. What in the world was that cafe's name? The Lundberg Cafe, where he worked. He'd go down in the morning, eat breakfast, and then he'd go down there and eat lunch, and then after practices were over at night, he'd go down there and he'd do whatever they had him do. things like wash dishes, sweep floors, clean up, the coaches had arranged this deal with the cafe owner, that we gotta have this guy on our team, and this is the only way we can figure out. And so I don't know what other kind of deal they had with the owner of the cafe, but he's probably one of the few people around who ever worked his way, not through college, he worked his way through high school, and then he eventually went on to college. Bagley was a small, sleepy, sort of semi-farming, semi-logging, small business place when I was there. I don't remember a lot of Indian people living in the city of Bagley. They all seemed to live out in Rice Lake or the general Lingby area, Zirkle area, Rice Lake and so forth. But I don't recall them. But then I was only in grade school. I didn't go around onto places like the businesses and the churches and stuff like that. I just didn't go in those circles.
Tune in next time, part 6 of an 8-part series. For the full series of Lee and Tell and for other stories, visit prx.org or negradio.org.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.